Hi, and welcome to another episode of China on the Rocks, the podcast where we talk about the food and beverage industry and everything in between. I'm Logan, and I'm joined by my awesome co-host.
Hi, guys. Anna here.
And it's the end of the summer, Anna.
Yeah, we've been to the pool finally, though.
Finally did a pool day. Anna and I discovered we're both the type of people that stay in the pool.
Yeah, in the water the whole time. 6 hours, 7 hours. I don't care.
I am wrinkly like a raisin, but like I'm not one of those people that like gets out, like stays out of the pool till it gets hot and then like gets in the water or tans. I'm in.
Yeah, same. If I go to the pool, I'm going to be in that water.
Yeah, the chair or the lounge is just literally there to hold my bag.
Yep.
You know, and that's it. And then, you know, it's funny, like our friend Cheryl actually brought us. Last time I was at the pool 2 times ago, she had just come back from Mexico and she brought us mezcal.
Nice.
It's very nice of her to bring it from Mexico. She brought a beautiful mezcal. The problem was it's so hot in Shanghai. It's over 100. So it's like 41, 42 some of the days.
Yeah.
Like last month when we were going. And hot mezcal.
No.
Not so nice.
Not appetizing at all. And by the way, we're not drinking something hot. We're drinking something apparently yummy. I don't know what it is.
Yes, we got a shot. I haven't told Anna what it is yet. It's in a big skull glass.
It's a brown liquor. It's, you know, let's figure it out. Cheers.
Cheers. Salud. And.
It's whiskey.
No.
Oh, it's rum. It's round rum.
It's a rum.
It's a dark rum. Yeah, hold on. Sorry.
It's not made on this continent. First clue.
Okay, so it's not high seas.
No, it's not a high seas.
It's on the sweeter side, so can I rule some stuff out?
Rule some stuff out. Live your best
life. It's not Havana. It's not Bacardi.
No, it's neither one of those two.
No, it's a molasses type. Mount Gay?
No, but funny name.
Is it in the family? Is it in the area? Am I close?
No, you're not close. Because I think Mount Gay is from...
Barbados,
right? Yeah, I know it's Caribbean.
Okay, so is it Venezuelan?
I think so. I want to say yes.
Is it Diplomático?
Yes, but which Diplomático? Which Diplo did I do?
Let me try again. Hold on, let me taste more.
It's good though, right?
Mm-hmm. Is it a Montuano?
Which one is that?
Not the black bottle.
It's not the black bottle. It's not the green bottle.
No, it's like a reddish kind of...
Yeah, it's like a brownish label?
Yeah.
That's the one.
Ha, right on. Okay.
I went so fast, I didn't get the name. But I was like, okay, it's not the regular...
Yes, the Montuano is one of my favorites, actually. I've done the Diplomático cocktail competition, and I really like the Montuano because, for me, it has a lot of notes of cherry.
Mm.
Like a red cherry, kind of sour cherry.
Yeah.
So... I really like this, actually, this rum. So thank you.
Welcome. Like a while ago, this is maybe 2014, my friend Johan and I were the judges for the Diplomático competition in China. And we were in Beijing. It was super fun. And we were supposed to go to Venezuela. But unfortunately, the security situation
collapsed. Yeah, weird times. Yeah.
So unfortunately, we couldn't go. But I've always, always liked Diplomático. Such a nice rum.
It's beautiful. If anybody at home has a chance, it's delicious. It's more on the sweet side, so it's a great sipping. It's great in an old-fashioned. It's great in a daiquiri. It's great on its own, the rocks. Pairs really well with cigars.
Yeah.
If you like cigars. And all of them, even like in the... it's a premium rum, so even at the lower range, it's already very delicious. Like, there is no, like, rail version of it. And it's not too expensive for what it is.
For what it is, it's very fair-priced.
It's fair-priced, and highly recommend. And I like the Montuano for cocktails a lot.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I'm going to smoke a cigar later on today. Even though I've been running a lot, I'm going to have one stogie. And I feel like this is, like, the perfect rum to go with it. I have my Hawaiian shirt on. I have some Bahama shorts on. So, yeah, they're jean shorts that are Bahama.
I can confirm it is.
Yep, I am ready to relax outside of the taco truck in our terrace.
All right, Logan, so what is the topic that we're talking today?
So, off pod, I was talking to Anna a little bit because all summer, as we've talked about, and also, guys, we were on a little bit of a break because it was summertime. So we were still here working, but I was on tour the whole summer, a bunch of different bars and restaurants in Shanghai. And I was doing some master classes for high seas. And I also just did a master class and a guest shift for Bowls, with High Seas as well. And what I was talking to Anna about is I feel older. Like, I was telling her to listen to this song by LCD Sound System called Losing My Edge. And it's basically like he's getting older. He's been doing this stuff forever. And like all the new people are just younger and cooler. What was the line?
He said they're all better looking and more talented than him.
And like it was really interesting. Yesterday, I'm doing this masterclass. And for those that don't know, a masterclass is a little bit more of a technical, kind of like a teaching moment for like a spirit or a brand where you go over the history of the brand, how it's made. Then you outline some utilizations for it and how to give it to customers. So it's basically more professional side for like bar managers, bar owners, bartenders, just to get familiar with a new brand. And I was doing this brand called Pessoa, which is this passion fruit liqueur. And so we had all these young bartenders that came in. And when I say young, like I definitely know I'm much older than them. But like they were making all these drinks and doing all this fun stuff. And I was like, I don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah, I know the feeling really well, too.
And like in that song, which we should put a link in, he's talking about like, well, I was there in 1983 at CBGB. And I was there when Bubba, and he's talking about all these bands he saw. And I remember I was there in Shanghai in 2010, when there was no Fernet Branca. I was there before there was blue, when there was only blue flaming drinks. I was there before cocktail bars, you know, so it's very interesting.
Yeah, I agree. And it's definitely such a fast-growing industry. I feel like when I moved here, I knew everybody and everybody's part of our generation. And I think a lot of people from our bartending generation has kind of moved on to brand work or sales or opening their own companies or consultancy or, you know, business side in general. And now the people at the bars, I also don't know them. And it's not really a matter, of course, we can go to the bar and introduce ourselves. I think it's more that contextual knowledge of everyone being part of the same group that we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and I really do like the new crop of Chinese bartenders because they're super, super cool. Like everybody I was talking to, they really had passion. Their English, maybe not the best, but they really knew what they were doing. And I really liked the fact that they had the technical details done because I remember 15 years ago here, you didn't have that.
It's a question about the part of the losing the edge. Do you feel like maybe one of the big changes is that you kind of don't care as much as them as well when it comes to that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, I'm not out till like 5 a.m. anymore. Like, I can't, my body doesn't work that way. Like, I don't get hangovers, but like, I'd rather be in bed by like midnight, you know, not asleep, but maybe reading, having a glass of wine. I put the fireplace thing on my TV, and I just sit in front of that. Well, that's a nice Friday night. Like at 11 or 12, I have the fireplace going on the TV. I've got my aircon cranked up as high as possible, so it's freezing.
So you're basically mimicking winter in your house.
Yes.
Pretending it's a winter day.
Yes.
No, but I mean more in Zing, like in the actual craft side. So I've had the my whole experience now, and a lot of the times when I'm consulting for a bar or working with a lot of bartenders is that you meet these young, fresh-faced bartenders, and they are still so excited to try very complex, very complicated drinks or very complicated techniques and these drinks that have all these weird ingredients and all that. And I just realized that I lost a lot of that drive.
Yeah, I could feel you on that. Like, I feel like it's one of those things where you, because you've done it so many times, you lose like the excitement of it. Not like it's not exciting, it's still like a really fun job. Like there's no other job I'd really want to do, but it's still like, oh, I've done this 10,000 times in front of people, you know?
Well, I think there's also a little bit of a practicality behind it. I think a lot of the young kids being really excited making this really complicated drinks, and part of me is thinking about, are you going to prep for this every day? How consistent are you going to be? How truly effective is this drink? How much are you going to sell that it's worth the amount of prep for it? Like, it's almost like I see as like a cost benefit time kind of math.
Well, like even when I walk around Tacolicious, like this block, I was just walking around it the other, like I walk around it a lot. At night, there's six new, really cool local Chinese craft cocktail bars that opened up. And like, they all have like little quirky names. They're small. They're about the size of the taco truck, each of them. But they're like high-end cocktail bars. It's super cool. And it's people I've never seen before with tattoos on their faces.
Do you think there is a market for this many craft cocktail bars, though?
Well, this is what happens in Shanghai, and we've all seen this. A coffee shop opens, does well. Everybody in the block opens a coffee shop. A beer bar opens, does well. Everybody does a beer bar. A highball bar opens, everybody does a highball bar. So now it seems like it's all like little boutique cocktail lounges.
I feel like there's like an excessive amount of bars that feel like a copy paste one of the other. They're like the same bar, different name, little different chair, but overall they serve the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's endemic though to the area that we live in. Because there is a lot of same, but a little bit different.
Yeah, but they're just a little bit different, not very different. I almost feel like, and this is not at all a criticism to Shanghai specifically, but I feel like there is a very successful bar here in Shanghai that everyone knows, will not name for the sake of this discussion. And I feel like every other bar... No, but every other bar has been opened as a reflection of that bar, but by people that don't necessarily understand that every bar should have its own story, its own concept. So they're kind of just copy-paste of that, but without... When you enter it, you know that they have cocktails, but you don't know what's the cohesion, what's the theme, what's the vibe, what's the music. It's kind of like just all a copy-paste of the same place, right?
Yeah.
And it's... For me, it's a shame because they all have a... Not all, but a lot of them have great drinks. I've been pleasantly surprised with incredible drinks, but the lack of identity kind of makes it a one-time visit, one-time stop kind of thing.
Gotcha. I understand what you mean. Like, there definitely is a method that people follow here, like definitely cookie cutter. I mean, even for me, there's one-to-one copies of my old Logan's Punch furniture, which was unique and designed for Logan's Punch, that I see out in the wild now, especially from bartenders that have worked with me before, that have like worked with me at Punch, that have started their own bars. And it's like exact copies. And it's like, wow, I could have got that so much cheaper.
Well, no one's going to copy my shitty chair as a post, but hey.
Yeah, no, we used a stupidly expensive designer called Nirian Hu. And so everything we had was custom made from Design Warehouse. And it was expensive. It was more and more expensive. And so, but when I go to certain bars, I see exactly my chairs. And I'm like, damn it.
And not just say, by the way, I'm not shitting on the market. I think there's a lot of good bars too.
Yeah.
But I think that right now there's just too many bars.
Yeah. Oh, too many bars. That's the problem. I think we're...
too many of the same bar.
We are like overwhelmed with choice here. And that's why I think a lot of people just go to their regular. Like, because, I mean, I could go to all these new bars, and I do go to a lot of bars, especially working in content with High Seas. I do go to a lot of places, but there's just so very many bars and cocktail lounges, which is cool, but, like, it's like, oh, are they going to be here for another month? Are they going to be here for a year?
And a lot of them make it, and a lot of them also end up through the process of having their customers come, kind of creating their own identity, like... throughout. Yeah. So yeah, but it's interesting. But yeah, I also feel like I'm losing my edge.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things where you do get older and you have to figure out, you know, what's the next move. Like when I'm doing these guest shifts and I'm standing there for like 4 hours, I'm like, I don't want to do this. Like I prepped a bunch of fruit, all this stuff yesterday, and I was like, oh, good thing my back doesn't hurt yet. But that wouldn't have been a conversation I had myself like at 25, you know?
Yeah. But also, I think there was a lot more incentive because the shift was more about, not always, but when you did a guest shift, was the excitement to drink, to go out. Now when I travel for guest shifts, people are like, oh, we're going to take you bar hopping after. And I'm like, no, I want to go to the hotel and enjoy the bathtub.
Like, yeah, does the hotel have a gym?
Can I just like, we sleep early so tomorrow I can wake up, go to the gym, and then like soak on the bathtub.
No, I feel you. But I mean, with that said, I really do like the youngins because they are giving me new perspectives on things. And I really, really do feel like I learn a lot more from these guys because they're coming up in like a post-internet world where when I started bartending, there was internet, but it wasn't the way we have it.
Yeah, we had to exchange books with each other to learn stuff.
Yeah, like we had all sorts of books. Every good bar had a bunch of bar books that you go through. Like, we didn't have internet on our phones right away, so if you didn't know a drink, you were kind of screwed.
So PSA for anyone listening that has one of my books in their house, give it back to me, please. I have landed a lot of books and somehow they never make it back to me. So I'm still collecting them. So, hey, PSA there.
There you go. Well, I mean, speaking of losing our edge, though, we still got it. I think we still got it. Like, I feel like we got it.
Some days I feel like I got it.
Some days you're just tired. Some days it's too hot out. But you got it. So what else we got on the docket today, Anna?
We have a couple of Reddit stories.
We got some Reddit stories. Okay, let's hear some Reddit stories.
All right, so let me get the phone.
Whip out the jammy.
All right, so this one comes from Best of Redditor Updates.
Okay.
We have not read them, so we don't know what twists and turns they're going to have. So the title is, Am I the Asshole for Mentioning at a Restaurant that I think parents should take screaming babies to the restroom or outside until they calm down?
Smother them with blankets. Just smother them.
I've, 38 male, been seeing this woman, 35 female, for a few months. She has 3 kids, 8, 10, and 15, and I have none, by choice. But I would love to be a stepdad one day. I am the oldest of 4 boys, and my youngest brother is 18 years younger than me. I've been around kids since I was 6 years old. Well, you were a kid yourself, but okay. My brothers have a combined 6 kids now. This comes into play later. We have been doing great for the duration of our relationship. No arguments or anything. We have been doing family activities together. Everything has been great. So we are at dinner Friday night, and there is a table of 8 adults and 1 baby. The baby is around 1.5 to 2 years old. It's just relentlessly screaming bloody murder for like 15 minutes straight. All gas, no breaks. The parents are acting like nothing is going on, completely ignoring it. I say to her, this may be an unpopular opinion, but I think one parent should take this baby to the restroom or outside until they calm down. It's kind of inconsiderate for everybody else around them. This sparked something in her soul, and she absolutely lost it, and told me, if you really feel that way, that just makes you a horrible human being, and that I was a male Karen for even thinking that. She blames the whole issue on me not having kids and not knowing what it's like. If you knew it could possibly offend me, then why even say that to me? That's her saying. And that she now can't trust me because I might say something out of line to her kids or parents. We finished up and I took her home, where we sat in the driveway and talked some more. I explained that I have been around kids my entire life and even thought that even though I don't have any of my own, I absolutely know what's like. I had to take my youngest brother outside for the same reason multiple times growing up. If I'm at dinner with my family and one of my nieces or nephews start losing it, I am the one who takes them out so mom and dad can have a break. That I was just expressing my opinion and it wasn't a big deal if she didn't agree, because it would never come into play with her kids, considering their age. She refuses to let it go and stays livid, continuously saying mean shit until I ask her to get out and I drove home gutted. Am I the asshole?
I don't think so, because people need to discipline their children.
I agree with him completely, actually. Like, not even about the children's discipline. Like, I think that if you are at a restaurant and you are sharing a space with a lot of other people and your kid is losing it, even if the kid just needs a break, just needs a breather, other people are also paying for that space and for their food. It's considerate to take a little step out, take a time out. Like, I think it's actually healthy for the kids, like, take a time out, take them out of the room that it's overstimulating them or making them uncomfortable, like, shake them a little bit around, do a little walk around the block. Like, there are techniques, and I actually think it is healthy to do that with kids.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have that issue too much, but what we do have is people that their kids run wild.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is the same kind of conversation.
Sure. Even if the kid's not upset, but they're running around screaming, playing, like going wild, it's also disturbing other people.
It's the same thing. I hate it when people have pets that they just let go in restaurants and bars and they're not on a leash. I hate that. Like, if you want to bring a pet, which is, I don't know why you would ever want to bring your stupid fucking pet to a restaurant.
Oh, whoa.
I hate it. Especially big dogs. Hate it. If it's a little cute, like, dog, no problem. Like, a little cute dog, it's cool. But, like, if you're bringing big dogs, why?
Yeah, I'm feeling attacked because I bring my dog out.
No, but your dogs are little. Like, yeah. Ella, also, Cheryl's dog. It's a little dog. Super easy to put down, but, like, you know, sit down next to you and everything. But if it's a big dog, like, some people bring in, like, big dogs, and it's like, why, man? Let the dog stay at home. We don't need it at the restaurant. And the dog's taking up space. Waiters are walking around it. People might be scared.
But yeah, I guess.
With kids, the same thing. It's like, don't put your, like, the kid can't run around, because let's say if a waiter trips over your kid, it's your fault. You know, the waiter's going to feel horrible. We just lost a bunch of food, you know, and your stupid kid probably has, like, a cut knee.
So there's an update for this, but I think first, like, I'm just my guessing. I haven't read the update. I have a feeling that this is not really about what he said. Like, when he said that the whole relationship, they never had an argument, it's because this person bottles things up. So I think that she has a little resentment because he doesn't want kids and he doesn't have kids, maybe. And that's what's really about. Because let's be honest, it's quite impossible to have a relationship for months without having a single argument.
Yeah.
Right? So it's somebody that's not voicing up their concerns, and then that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
I agree with you. But no, if the kid's crying, take him away, them away. It's tough, but, like, little kids, they're little kids. Like, if I'm at a restaurant, I don't want to deal with it. Like, if it's, like, a really loud little kid, the parents won't do anything, I'll leave the restaurant. I'll pay my bill and just leave. That's the way we have to tell restaurants. That's what they'll stop having to start talking to their parents.
I also have another issue, which I found out fairly recently, and I noticed by experience. When you're a single woman traveling by yourself, they always put in the area of the plane that has kids because they don't like putting, like, single men in those areas. So I'm always around screaming babies in airplanes, and I have
that's tough. I think it's different on an airplane, because I know, like, especially as a little kid, I knew I had, like, the air pressure always really hurt my ears.
Oh, no.
So, like, I think it's different. Like, airplane, it sucks. When you have a baby on board, it sucks.
I'm not too worried about the takeoff and landing and the ear pressure. I completely understand. Like, also, those are the scary parts of flying, or if there's turbulence. I'm talking about, like, four-year-olds running up and down.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, they are putting their iPads with full volume, and the parents are doing nothing, and they are, like, touching people's things and, like, kicking the back of your seat. Like, that type of behavior that, like grinds my gears. Like, a newborn crying because of the ear pressure, I understand.
Yeah. But parents, control your kids.
By the way, the update is that the restaurant was called Casa Mexicana. Mexicana. So it was a Mexican restaurant. Look at that. And they did break it off after this. Let me see if there's anything else. No, yet. People, apparently most of the comments also said there must be more to the story. And as far as he knows, there isn't. But I think he's being a little oblivious. Yeah. I think there is more to the story. And I guess that's it. They broke up. Yeah.
Yep. Shut that baby up. Save a relationship. Shut the baby up.
And I heard you have a story, too.
Oh, I do. So I was on the Reddit, as the kids call it.
Reddits.
I was on the Reddit. And this is something actually I've been... I don't know. Sometimes, you know, you get in these rabbit holes. And I've been looking... And this is Reddit's... At least the Reddit I go through is more, like, U.S.-focused. So in China, it's not the same laws. But in the U.S., I thought this was interesting, about bringing your own food to a restaurant or a bar. In the U.S., it's very illegal.
It's not illegal, but I still think it's a no-no.
But in the U.S., it is illegal.
No, I know, yeah. But I'm saying I think it's a no-no regardless of legality.
Yeah. Like, the reason it's illegal is because you are eating something that's not made by the restaurant in a restaurant. If you got sick or anything, you could blame the restaurant. And there's an FDA thing that talks about it. But basically, I got in this whole rabbit hole of, can I bring my own food to a bar or restaurant? So I'm going to read one, and you tell me what you think. Okay, so I, 28F, that means female.
Thank you, Logan.
And 28 is the age.
Oh, wow.
I thought maybe that was an apartment number. 28F recently went out with a group of friends to a trendy new bar in town. The place is known for its craft cocktails and chill vibe. But here's the thing. I'm really particular about what I eat. I'm on a very strict diet, and I don't want to break it just because my friends wanted to go out. I packed myself a little container of grilled chicken and veggies, figuring I could just quietly eat it while everyone else was drinking. When we got to the bar, I ordered a cocktail to be polite and then pulled out my container. The bartender immediately came over and told me I couldn't eat outside food there. I explained my situation, but he wasn't having it. My friends were embarrassed, and one of them even asked if I could just wait until we left to eat. I got frustrated and said that I shouldn't have to starve just because the bar didn't cater to my dietary needs. Eventually, the manager came over and said they could make me something that fit my diet, but by then I was already annoyed. I refused and said that it wasn't worth the money, and I'd rather just eat what I brought. The manager was clearly pissed, and my friends were giving me side-eye the rest of the night. Am I the asshole for bringing my own food to a bar when they couldn't offer me anything that fit my diet?
Yes. You were a horrible customer. I can visualize the trauma of having her in the bar.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like just, like, why can't you just eat beforehand?
Eat beforehand, eat after, or suck it up and eat something that's not your diet. Like, you're going to a place, you follow their rules. Like,
and also, if you're on a very strict diet, why are you going out for drinks?
Yeah, I actually don't think she is. I think that's why it's even a worse, like, customer. She only ordered a cocktail to, like, buy her way in, and she was going to sit there drinking water and eating her own food all night.
Yeah. Seems just annoying.
I notice this a lot here. People will bring food a lot to places.
Yeah, it happens a lot. It, so
and to be honest, what bothers me is that it's very different if you ask ahead of time. Like, if you contact the restaurant and be like, hey, I have an allergy to this and that. Is it okay if I bring X, Y, and Z? Sure. But some people just show up and put food on the table and open up the container and you're like, no outside food. And they'll look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They will be like, oh, well, like, three people will order tacos and one people will have, like, barbecue or something like that. And you're like, what are you doing? That's not our food.
Yeah, why are you bringing it over? Like, yeah, exactly. So it happens a lot. And it annoys me because it's a slippery slope. When one person does it, then everybody else feels like, if they can do it, I can do it too.
Yeah.
And suddenly everybody's ordering food to the bar. So,
I mean, this happens at a restaurant. So, like, that's why it's super frustrating. You know, it's like, no, you can't do that. I mean, it's the same thing. Like, you see people, like, in China, legally, there's not a corkage fee.
Yeah, but you can charge for other things. So there's a loophole where you can charge for glassware washing or service or, like...
There's a service fee you could put on.
Yeah.
But you can't do a corkage fee.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's not really taken advantage of too much because it's not... For whatever reason, people bring food, but they don't really bring booze in.
Only, like, Chinese restaurants, but, like...
Like a local restaurant.
Yeah.
But a lot of local restaurants, sometimes they don't serve liquor or... If they serve baijiu, you could bring your own baijiu's and wines it. I've been to a lot of them where, like, even Haidilao, Haidilao is a very popular hot pot chain for those listening not in China.
They're available in the U.S. too.
Yeah,
everywhere.
So, no, but people, like, I've always, for our staff parties, always brought a bunch of booze with us. And then no problems there. But, like, it'd be weird if I brought food to Haidilao.
No problem. They actually don't have a problem with that. And I'll tell you why. We were doing a hot pot with staff, I think was the times I was at the Shangri-La. And we had a whole group, I'm talking like 30 people. And we all really wanted a certain type of dumpling that they didn't have. And everybody just, you know, the mass craving that one person mentions that everybody wants it. So we asked them, can we order that on like delivery? Just that one dumpling, like uncooked to like just put in the hot pot. And they said, no problem. So we just ordered a bunch of those. And they even helped pick up from the reception and bring it to us.
Yeah, because Haidilao was the nicest people in the world. Wait, what was it when we were doing Feast, Anna? What was the thing that you're like, we need to get this food? And we ordered it from delivery. Was the cold noodles?
The cold noodles.
Oh, they were good. I need cold noodles.
Yeah, cold noodles in this hot weather.
I love cold noodles. It's the best thing ever.
But yeah, continue on the story. I think the person is the asshole. And I also don't like the language that the person used writing the post.
Yeah.
You can tell a lot about the person on how they write their post. And for me, just nope. You're the asshole.
They're the asshole, 100%. You got one more for us? One more in the chamber?
I do not. I only selected one. It was...
Okay. I've got one more.
Same
theme. Well, yeah, I told you. I went down the rabbit hole.
Oh, okay. Road. Go ahead.
Last week, I, 33-year-old male, 33M, went out with some friends to this small divey bar that we like to hit up sometimes. It's a really chill place with great drinks, but they don't serve food. Normally, this isn't an issue because we usually eat before we go, but this time, I was starving and didn't have time to grab dinner beforehand. I picked up a sandwich from a nearby deli and brought it with me to the bar. I figured it wouldn't be a big deal since the bar doesn't have a kitchen or any food option at all. When I got there, I asked the bartender if it was cool for me to eat my sandwich, and he sort of shrugged and said, I guess. So I took that as a yes and started eating while we were hanging out. About 20 minutes later, the bartender came back and asked me to put the food away because apparently some of the other patrons had complained about it. He said while they don't serve food, it's still kind of frowned upon to bring in outside stuff. I was a bit surprised because I'd seen other people do it before without any issues. I put the sandwich away, but now I'm wondering if I was being inconsiderate. AITA for bringing takeout to a bar that doesn't serve food.
This one, I don't think the person is that much of... Okay, there's a few steps here. One, he asked.
Yeah, he asked first.
And I think when you ask... And, okay, look, it is a dive bar. So their response to the shrug of being a guest is... It's sure could be interpreted as something else, but also it's just a dive bar. Like that's the service that you get. So he kind of got permission. So I don't think he's an asshole for that. I also don't know why. What sandwich was he
eating?
That's
what
the
I was
other
thinking.
People were like disturbed by it, like annoyed by it. I think other people are just annoyed that they were maybe hungry and they didn't feel like they could order food there or go get food. And again, there's no kitchen to compete with. It's a dive bar. So I think this is very different than the other one.
Yeah, I think this one, honestly, not an asshole. Like, he asked permission. The bartender seemed to say yes or shrugged it yes. Then, at the same time, you know, when they said to stop, he stopped.
Yeah. And he actually seems to feel guilty about it, not entitled. So, yeah, I think he's not the asshole.
Like, what I would say is that I've been to bars, like, even in San Francisco, I've been to bars that are just straight-up bars. Like, if you ask, there was this really cool bar on the Mission, and, like, it really cool drinks, beer, and everything like that, shots. But, like, dive bar, because San Francisco, we're good at dive bars. And right next to it was, like, this Mexican place. I'd be like, oh, can I bring a burrito from over there? I'm like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I had places like that. They even have, like, partnership with a couple restaurants around, and you can just buy from them and bring it over. So, yeah, no, I think this guy's in the clear. I think he's all right.
Yeah, I think no kitchen... is a different story.
Yes, but asking for permission was what made him not be an asshole.
Yeah.
Because even with no kitchen, if you don't respect the place and you just start eating because you're entitled to it, is what kind of makes you the asshole. Asking, you got your okay? No problem.
Yeah, I agree. And with that said, I think that's another episode of China on the Rocks, podcast about the F&B industry and everything in between.
You've been practicing that, huh?
No, I haven't said it for like 4 weeks, so...
Hey, we're back.
We're back. So this episode is going to launch on Saturday. I got a question for you, Anna, before we go. What is your... Because pool on Monday, so what's your favorite poolside drink?
Ooh, okay. So when I'm on holiday and I'm like in Thailand or something on the pool...
Drink you order. Like a drink, like if we're smuggling drinks in... We're not smuggling, but we're bringing drinks into the pool. What you drinking?
Okay, I can't smuggle that one in because it'll be too much work, but I like pina coladas by the pool.
Okay, I like that.
It's my thing. It's like pina coladas by the pool. Anything frozen, to be honest, because it's really so hot.
Because I was going to make some limeades here with like, or limeades or lemonades, and then put like some mixers in it.
That sounds great too.
Well, that's actually so.
Mojitos. Let's just make fucking mojitos, man.
Yep.
Let's just.
Well, I was at, I did this event last weekend for High Seas at this Beer Nanza thing, or this beer festival, sorry. And there was this little bar there that was selling these really cute cocktails. It was a plastic cup, like a takeaway cup, and it had like mixer or whatever, or yogurts, different flavored things. And then they put airplane mini bottles
on top
of it. It was super fun. I have a picture of it, so we could share that as well. And it was super fun because I was like, oh, this is interesting because if you don't want to drink, you don't have to have the mini bottle. But
it's trendy here. I've seen on social media in China a lot. Like they'll make whatever drink and then they'll just put the little airplane bottles in it, like upside down, almost like a Bulldog margarita.
Exactly.
But with the little bottle of booze. It's very trendy right now in China, so.
Yep. Well, with that said, cheers, Anna.
Cheers.
Most of my shot.
Bye, guys, and see you next week.
See you guys next time. Cheers.